Hey friends, I wanted to take a minute to share with you about one of our new partners, Five Lakes Coffee. For 20 years, Five Lakes has been helping people discover the magic of fresh roasted coffee. They craft roast in small batches, then ship direct so that you are getting the freshest and best tasting coffee. Five Lakes uses the highest quality specialty grade coffee beans from around the world. And let me tell you, we're kind of coffee snobs in my family, and their coffee has converted even my daughter, who is a barista. As a family-owned and family-friendly company, I love their mission. As believers, our family loves supporting other Christian companies, and one of the things I absolutely love about this company is that they believe in loving their neighbors, and they value being good stewards of what God has given them. My two favorites are the signature Five Lakes blend and Chris's blend, because for Chris's blend, they donate $1 per bag to Forgotten Children's Ministry in Honduras. And guess what? As a podcast listener, you get an exclusive 20% off your first order when you use the code Hearing Jesus. Head over to fivelakes.com and experience the joy of fresh roasted goodness today. Again, head to fivelakes.com and use code Hearing Jesus for 20% off your first order. Okay, full transparency. Not every biblical woman in the Old Testament is going to be somebody that we have lessons to learn from. Sometimes they teach lessons about other characters in the Bible. Like today's example, we're learning about Potiphar's wife, but really the lesson here is what she teaches us about Joseph. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
Hey friends, welcome back to the Hearing Jesus podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Grohl. We are continuing our devotional reading through the women of the Old Testament, and today we're learning about Potiphar's wife. We don't know her name, but we certainly know her story, and it teaches us a lot about the character of Joseph. And so if you're just joining us, I just want to let you know we have some extra resources available as we're going through this study. On our Patreon page, where we have ad-free episodes, we also have journaling prompts. And the reason for that is because I really believe in my own life and the life of my daughters and people that I work with, journaling is a really good tool to help us get the information from our head into our heart. And so every single episode has journaling prompts to go along with it, as well as lots of other resources you'll find on our Patreon. And so we're reading from Genesis chapter 39 today, and that's where we hear Joseph and Potiphar's wife's story. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes, and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said to him, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called to her household servants. 'Look,' she said to them, 'this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. "That Hebrew slave that you brought us came to me to make sport of me, but as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So this story is interesting, because with Potiphar's wife, we don't know her name, she's actually the first woman that we see that is sinning just for the sense of sinning. You know, we've had other women that we've been studying over the last couple of weeks that were either sinning maybe to help out God, to help out the circumstance, or to help what God said to be true. Or perhaps it was a result of the culture at the time and they really felt like they had no choice. But with this woman, it's really an indication of her heart. She was spoiled. She was selfish. She lived a life of indulgence. She was older than Joseph. She was not a follower of God. She really spent her days chasing after physical pleasure. And the warning in that is that it can lead us to a really dark place. She's one of the first people, actually the first woman, but one of the first people in the scriptures that we see that really is sinning basically just for her own selfish reasons. And it's interesting because there's a huge difference in how Joseph responds to her versus his brother Judah that we studied yesterday, just a chapter before this. And so you remember from the story of Joseph, basically Judah, his brother, and the rest of his brothers really betrayed him. They sold him as a slave. Then he was bought as a slave and he's brought into this Egyptian official's household. And he basically works himself up through the ranks and he has proven himself based on his character. Over and over, his character has brought him to this place. Even in the midst of slavery, God was with Joseph, and everything, scripture says, everything he did, he was successful in. And Potiphar was really smart in that. He noticed that God was blessing Joseph, and so he put him in charge of his entire household. Everything that he had, Joseph had access to, and he was in charge of. And scripture tells us that Joseph was well-built, he was handsome, and this wife, whose husband was probably not home a lot, didn't pay a lot of attention to him, started to say, "Oh, well, I want Joseph." And in her culture, that would not have necessarily been wrong. It would have been wrong in the sense that, you know, they would have been in trouble if her husband found out because of the emotions attached. But culturally speaking, they lived in a culture where there was a lot of sexual sin. And her husband is gone all of the time. Here she has this young, handsome, hot Hebrew that is in her house all the time, that is a man of character, so everybody likes him. He shows integrity over and over again, and she starts getting the hots for him. And she starts trying to come after him, and day after day, scripture says she talked to him day after day, he resisted her. Now, his brother Judah, in yesterday's episode, we talked about this. Judah went and he slept with Tamar, thinking that she was a prostitute. But Joseph, he never did that. He, at every opportunity, resisted her to the point where it infuriated her. Because Joseph knew not only was this a mark of integrity for him to refuse her, but if he would have given in to her, it would ultimately not just have been sinning against his boss, but sinning against God. He had grown up following Yahweh, following God. And so knowing that, he knew that if he were to succumb to this temptation, that he would be putting himself in danger of losing the only thing that has helped him survive, and that was God's favor. His relationship with God is evident in his choices, or his resistance to those choices. And, you know, what's really interesting is we see her then accuse Joseph of the very thing that she tried to do. She accuses him of rape. And yet he was, that was the exact opposite of his character. And you know, I don't know about you, if this has ever happened to you, but this has happened to me, where there has been situations where I have been operating within godly character, with wisdom, bathed in prayer, and then somebody will come around and accuse that exact behavior as something evil. And in fact, it's the very thing that they have done. That's almost like the definition of narcissism. I don't know what the true definition of narcissism is, but it's definitely projection, which is what we see in that narcissistic temperament. And then she goes on a smear campaign, right? And so, you know, there's a lot of talk about narcissism in our culture, but I think it's important to remember that that is a trick that the devil has been using since the beginning of time. We see it all the way back in Joseph's story. And then Potiphar's response, well, he has to punish Joseph. Or number one, his anger is riled up because he doesn't really know exactly what happened, but he's not going to get any peace with his wife forever, probably, if he doesn't do something about it. And so the thing of it is the likely scenario, if that would have happened anywhere else, was it probably would have gotten Joseph killed, even though it wasn't his fault. But instead, he just sent him to prison. That was actually a grace that he didn't just have him killed.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in Raw through your favorite podcast app.
And so we see this testing of Joseph over and over. And every single time Joseph is tested, he acts with integrity and character, even in the face of the lies, even in the face of this projection and this gross injustice. And he knew everything that he had worked for, everything that he had built up until this point, this place of honor within this household, was going to be lost. And the temptation to give in must have been so great. Can you think about that? Realizing that everything that you've built, everything that you have worked for, could stay the same if he just acted in sin, or he could stand up for what's right and likely lose everything. But yet we still see him operate with character and integrity. And we learn from scripture that eventually God worked through that scenario, and even locked away in the prison, we see Joseph elevated to a place of honor because of his character and his integrity. God was with him no matter what happened. And I take so much comfort in that, because there are scenarios where I have maintained character, and maybe you've experienced this too. I've maintained character and I've maintained integrity, and there was consequences for that. You know, I think there is this false ideal that if we are believers and we just follow God, that everything is going to work out okay, and it's all going to be all right, and we're going to have an easy life. That's not the reality of it. Sometimes there's consequences to being a believer. Sometimes there's consequences in this world for standing up for what's right. I actually just saw a quote, I think it was by Abraham Lincoln today, that said, sometimes what is legally right is not morally right, especially in the culture that we live in today. Sometimes standing up for what is morally right, biblically right, is against the law. And that's hard. It's hard when there's consequences, especially when those consequences threaten to take away everything that we've worked for, everything that we have tried so hard to sustain and to build, and that we know that God's hand was on us. But yet the example that we see in Joseph is, not only was that taken away and there's consequence, but then God handed something else to him. And it might have been a different assignment, but you can still see God's hand of favor on him. And we know throughout the time that we learn about Joseph throughout scripture, that God continues to have his hand on him. But Joseph didn't know that in that moment. And I even think about that now in my own life when I've been at a crossroads where I have a decision to make. I can either act with integrity, knowing that there's going to be a cost, but still depending on God, or the temptation is for me to lie or for me to give in to whatever that temptation is and things continue to be status quo or even get easier. And perhaps you find yourself at a crossroads. And if you haven't up until now, well, the likelihood is in your lifetime that's going to happen. And I think we can look to Joseph's example to see an idea of how God can still continue to work and move despite the hardness of our situation. And perhaps you're in this place where that's exactly what has happened to you and you're still in the darkness of that prison. Because this is the other thing I don't want you to miss. There was a period of this where Potiphar's wife had had him thrown in prison. You know, Potiphar threw him in there and it was dark. In that prison, it's dark. He has not yet seen the outcome of what's going to happen when he continues to walk with the Lord and to walk in integrity. Now, it's coming, but he had to earn the trust of the warden. He had to start from scratch, and that can feel incredibly dark, especially when you've experienced the easier side of the Christian life. And so if you're in a season of darkness, hold on. Hold on and continue to act with integrity and character and ask the Holy Spirit to help you because there is light at the end of that tunnel. We see that example in the life of Joseph. And then also I have to think about Potiphar's wife. She's obviously miserable, obviously, but think about the reasons for that. What was she chasing? What are you chasing? She was chasing wealth and luxury and lust. And, you know, wealth and luxury, it's not that those things are bad in and of themselves. But when that is your goal, when the pleasures of this world are your goal, they consume you. And even when you get those things, you get more and more and more, they still can leave you feeling empty. But the flip side is with Joseph, he was willing to risk everything and he was fulfilled. Because it is really when we chase after God's design for our life, even when there are consequences in this world that are uncomfortable and hard and dark, that is the place that we can be fulfilled and know that we are living within our purpose. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the example we see in Joseph's life, even through the wife of Potiphar. And as much as we want to hate her and we want to come down on her and we see her in the people in our own lives, Lord, I thank you for the way that you even used her in the life of Joseph to showcase his integrity, to get him to the place that he could still be used by you because of the integrity and the character and the way he honored you with his life. Lord, if we are in a season of darkness, I just want to lift up my friends today that might be in a season of darkness where they have acted in accordance to your law and to your character and your goals for our lives. Sometimes even when we do that, we still find ourselves in this place that feels like a prison, that's dark, that's confining, that seems like there's consequence to standing up for you and what's right. God, help us to hold on to the hope that we see in Joseph's story because we know that your character and your nature does not change. So Lord, help us to hold on to that and know that there's hope because you never leave us. Help us to hold on to who you are and to rest in the knowledge that the Holy Spirit never leaves us alone, even if it feels dark, even if we feel alone, we know that you're right there with us. We thank you that you never leave us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. I've seen the impact myself through the letters and the updates that I've received as a sponsor. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone, open up a text, and text Hearing Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get back a text with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or a girl to sponsor. When you sponsor a child, we will send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, My Bible Study, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today. Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.